good evening. I don't think I'm strange to being up front, but I am a little scared of this black guy in front of me here. I'm not used to a mic, so hopefully I can do all right with him there. Yeah, on what we do in Shenandoah, Brian wondered if I would have a part of it. He wondered if I would talk about the Bible clubs. So that's mainly what I'm going to be looking at for a couple minutes I'll be up here. Y'all know we're from Shenandoah. I'm sure most of you, probably all of you, have been there at least once. A small coal town up about an hour north of here. The area used to be booming. There used to be lots of people in town. Talking to some of our older neighbors from time to time, they talk about back when they were children, how great the town was, and it's just terrible anymore. I don't know if I'd call it terrible, but it does have its bad points. There is drugs and crime are real in town, which I'm sure they were even back then, but they are very much today. And when I think of that, or when I even walk around town in different sections of town and see children out, whether they're on the sidewalk or wherever they are, and there's some grown-ups maybe sitting on the porch, you kind of get a feel for what type of life they are living in, and it makes me sad when I think of the lifestyle they have. Another good way to see inside the life of a child is to have them come to Bible clubs and how they present themselves, what they talk about, how they act. It really does tell a lot about them. So I'm just going to go over, most of you, or some of you, have helped with Bible clubs, and we appreciate that. Our term runs from September through May, so we are currently not doing our Thursday night Bible clubs. We do that Thursday nights. Our average, I would say, is 35 to 40 children. It really depends. I would say this last term has maybe been down just a little. Have been struggling to get children towards the end of it, but that can be somewhat normal if it warms up. We split into six different classes. We do two younger classes, that's boys and girls, and then we have two classes of boys and two classes of girls. That's how we split those. We open at 7 o'clock. We open up with about 10 or 15 minutes of singing. Us men, we rotate through that and take turns doing that. And then we split up into our classes. We have a lesson time, a gym time, and a snack time. Now that all varies what you do first, because we only have one spot for our games. We call it our gym. It's not really a gym, but where we play games, and we have to take turns in there, so we have that split up according. So some people right out of the opening go down to the gym while the one class waits till the end. And then we close around 8 o'clock. The children are, I believe at this point, they are all from town. It's happened already that some were from out of town that had parents bring them in. We do not have any walking routes or driving routes. All the children come on their own, and most of them leave on their own. Over the winter months, when it is dark, very much dark at 8 o'clock, we'll walk some of them home. But we have, it's been pretty simple as far as children coming and going. As anybody that has worked with children know that you need to do something to keep it exciting. One of the things we do to try to keep it exciting is we have charts that are set up that if they have perfect attendance and perfect behavior, they can be filled monthly. We hang the charts on the wall, that way they can monitor their success, and once their chart is full, they can pick, we have bags of prizes that they can pick from. Try and keep that as an incentive for them. We monitor their attendance, of course, and then also their behavior, which some we do not struggle with at all, and the next one we do a lot. So when they come, they have they have 4 points, we call it, and those points can be taken away throughout the night with whether it's bad behavior or whatever it might be. And then at the end of the night, however many points they have left, that's how many marks they get on their chart towards filling it. Mid-year and end-year, we try to have bigger events, maybe an evening or oftentimes there's a meal, a pizza party. They tend to like the pizza parties. We usually try and do one of them. Just after Christmas in January sometime, we do one. And then also at the end of the year, which we just did about a week ago. That also hinges on how full their charts are. We have several different colors, and if they're in this color, they get to be invited to the fun night, we call it usually. So there's talk about that as we near the end, either the end of the year or the middle. Different ones ask, am I going to make it? And you can tell it does keep them motivated to some extent. And we also have a program. We've done that always at the end of the year. There was talk about switching that up a little bit. That has mixed results as far as interest from the children. Some are into it. Some will go stand up front, but there's a few that would rather not do that. But just a couple of the fun things we do. While it is good to have fun with these children, and I like to have fun with them, there is a more superior goal. We do this to have fun. We like when they can come and laugh and have a good time. But more importantly, it's our desire that the Bible is taught to these impressionable minds. The ages we have in the children's Bible clubs is 4 through 12. Their minds are very pliable. So I think it is very important that we always are teaching truths to these children so that they might see a better way to life. They are seeing examples that are oftentimes less than desirable. And we just hope we can change the course of at least one of these children. I believe it is impossible to reach all that we have that come in our doors, but we plant the seeds, we water them, but only God will make them grow, and we realize that. But it is our duty to teach truth to them. We also see this as an opportunity to reach parents through these children. There's parents that they have no desire to come to church, that they never did, they never planned to. But if we send songs or a Bible verse through these children to their parents, we have no idea where that might reach. And we just leave that up to God as well. Also, structure. Most times, I think we have structure in our Bible clubs. There is times that it doesn't really look that way, but I think also that's very important for the children to see stability. There is children that talk about getting bounced around from house to house, whether it's their dad's house for the weekend or somewhere else for another weekend. I think they need to see stability, and I believe we can model that at least a little bit when we have them for an evening. But one thing I realized, we can say all we want. We can talk. We can teach them the Bible. We can help them memorize Bible verses. But if it is not real in our life, if we are not showing it by example, by the way we live, these children are very bright, and they will pick up on it that it is fake. So it's a challenge for myself. What am I teaching these children, not just through the lesson that I taught that night, but how did I respond when something didn't go so great? It's very easy to get frustrated and not act in a very loving way. And I believe these children can pick up on a tone of voice more than we realize. And yes, there are lots of highlights through Bible clubs as well. One of the things that I thought of was, well, the class that I am most involved in is 11 and 12-year-old boys, and they can be pretty interesting, especially when they are actually serious. Highlights are serious questions about salvation or heaven. I believe it may have been Brian taught a lesson one time. I don't remember exactly what it was on. I'm pretty sure it had the salvation plan in it, and it was just interesting to hear them ask questions. How do you know when God's speaking to you? Just they were serious. They weren't laughing after they asked them these questions. There are times they'll ask questions and they'll laugh, and you'll know they don't really care about the answer. But it's really neat when you can actually have a real conversation with them. Also, when children are able to recite verses by memory, one thing we started doing this year was each month we had a new Bible verse that we put up front. We said it together maybe two or three times before we dismissed a class, and then maybe once afterwards, and just to try to instill this in their minds. And it's neat when you can hear one of them say it without looking off of any paper or anything. So just a very brief view of what our Bible clubs looks like. You're definitely invited to visit at any time. Anybody's allowed to come up. If you want to sit through it, that's great. We welcome you up. And I'll turn the time over to Riley now.
Good evening. It's good to be here. And Brian took the opportunity to go last, so if I don't have anything to say, he's just got a half hour, I guess. So I'm going to be talking about the youth night. And we, a couple years back, split the nights up, and so we have the youth, where the church used to be, and then the children will be at the night that it is now, or where the church is now. Basically, we have just a guys' night the past 5 months. It was just guys with my two sisters got married, and so it was a lot of work for my mom, and we felt it would be best just to close the girls down, and so we're still deciding how that's going to go in the future. We kind of restructured a little bit, and so with just having guys, so we start with a time of singing. We sing a couple songs, have a Bible lesson, do gym time, and have snack. And the one thing we miss most about having the women is one of the favorite songs is "There Is a God," and when you have five town guys grounding out the women's part, it doesn't go that well. They do enjoy singing. That's something that we try to teach them, is just the joy in singing and just worshiping God in that way. And we were privileged to have Philip and Logan came up some till Logan went to Iago, and Philip came back from Bible school and he helped out the last month, and Zach helped out a couple nights, and so we appreciate the help that comes. And right now we're working at building a culture. There was years in our youth night that it was a little chaotic, and we let certain guys come that every night they would be a problem and disrespect, and so we're thinking through a lot of how do you build a culture that is going to be able to, they're going to come and be able to listen, be able to learn, and we don't want the guys that aren't looking to learn to come and ruin it for the rest. And so on a consistent basis, the last 5 months, since January, we closed down the end of May. We had about six guys regularly came. Some nights it'd be five. Some nights I think the most we had was 10. And so it was, yeah, just a group of very respectful guys. It was very exciting. I feel like every night I came away feeling refreshed. And some of the things they would do once the lesson was over, we had songbooks and Bibles. They'd start picking them up and put them away. We didn't even tell them to do it. They would talk nice and respectful way to each other. And the one in the gym time, one of the favorite things to do is play basketball. And the best player there, I picked two guys. I said, okay, you guys are gonna pick teams tonight, make teams. And he was hey buddy. pray. Yeah, so I told the two guys, it's like, all right, you guys pick teams, and he picked the best player. He was, yeah, he's a pretty good basketball player. He picked the worst guy, and just doing out of nice, he wasn't going to help his team in any way. He was actually going to hinder his team, and he knew that, and he just chose to pick him. So it was exciting to see guys that, yeah, can just, I don't know, it's not something that we technically did teach it to them, but they're learning how to be nice to each other, and that excites me. And another exciting thing that happened was the last night, there was a guy who, 2 years ago, he was a regular. He came just about every night, and he hadn't come for the whole time I was there since January. I came back from Iowa in December, that's why, and in January started there. He hadn't come, and so we saw him on the street and just invited him, hey, you know, come to Bible clubs. And he said the second to last night, yeah, I'll be there. And he didn't come. And then the last night he showed up, and Dad had a practical lesson. My dad's Dale Weaver, if you didn't know. He had a practical lesson on what it looks like to hear God's voice, and to, you know, what does it look like when God speaks, and how does it sound? What should you do? And I like the illustration. He said, there's a latch on one side of the door, and it's on the inside. You have to open it up. And God's presence was definitely there. God was working, and the guys were under conviction. And about a week later, he came and was looking for Dad. He went, and we were in Kentucky on vacation. And so Spencer prayed with him, and he made a commitment. Dad, we weren't all sure how serious of a commitment it was. And Dad talked to him a couple nights ago, and it was definitely a little crack on the show. It wasn't a sincere break for God, but you know, it's a start. And so it's exciting to see God at work in that way, and that he's doing something there. And I just get excited thinking about the truth that the guys heard from January to the end of May. It's like 20 lessons, something like that. And they came, they listened, and they heard truth. And now we leave that in God's hands. We were faithful in bringing them truth, and so our goal is to see the guys' lives change. That's what we want to see. And so we just have to leave it at that. Another exciting thing, about 2 years ago, a guy came. He's a shorter guy. I love the guy. He's one of my favorite guys. And when he came, he was the shyest guy. He couldn't look you in the eyes. You would say hi, and he would just look down. He wouldn't give you high fives. And 2 years later, he's still shy. He can crack jokes. He can laugh with you. He can give you high fives. And it's exciting to see how just 2 years, just the change that's happening in his life. And God's definitely at work. There was a lot of times in the lessons where he was definitely under conviction, and I prayed a lot for him. I felt like there could be a conversion in his life, and it hasn't happened yet. And so it's just, continue to trust God with that. And a little bit about club culture that I think is important. I think you can kind of all boil it down. I didn't put a lot of thought into this, so forgive me if it doesn't make total sense, but I think it can all kind of boil down into respect. And respect is something that is being lost in our world, and there's no respect for authority, respect for police officers. It's something that is not evident in our culture. And so I think if we can come and bring them in and teach them just a respect for God, to have a reverence and respect for God, a reverence with God's word when we're praying during the lesson, and you know, not to take God's name in vain, and just to teach them a respect for God. And then secondly, just teach them respect for us as staff. You know, we are their authority for that hour that we have them. And so just to teach them to respect us as staff. They go through life, they don't respect their parents, they don't respect their teachers at school. And so I feel like it's important to teach them to respect, and then to respect others, to respect the other guys that are coming. It needs to be a safe place, I feel. There's a lot of the guys that we have come and get made fun of when they go to school, and probably at home. I don't know what it all is like. But I want them, when they come to clubs, for it to be a safe place where they can feel safe. They don't have to worry about being made fun of. And something that the devil can do very much in my life and the lives of many people is just bring discouragement. And, you know, just I find myself asking the question sometimes, you know, am I actually making an impact? Like, is it worth what I'm doing? Am I actually impacting the lives of these guys? Is there actually going to be change? And is it worth it to take an hour on a Tuesday and hang out with them and, yeah, and even prep time before that? Is it worth it to take that time? And our family, it's been, I think it's our seventh year of clubs. And we started out in our house, and my sister Kelly was actually the song leader to start, which, yeah, don't know how we let that happen, but just a lot of change happened in the 7 years. And I think back of everyone who came through our clubs, and from the first, I can still picture some of the people sitting on our couches in our living room on the first couple nights, and I can still remember some of their faces, and I don't know where they're at now. I see some of them every now and then, but I don't know if their life was changed, if their life ever will be changed, and, you know, is it worth it? You know, you invested all that time, but all those years, there was hundreds of different youth and children came through, and I don't know what the exact number would be, but they heard truth, and it might be 30 years down the road when they come to a difficult time that they'll remember one of those lessons. You never know. And, yeah, so I feel like when I think of it in that light, that, you know, it's easy to want to look for results and want to see, you know, God's hand working evidently right then, but it might not. You might never see the impact that your life made. And I just want to, in closing, just want to challenge us. If you, at the end of your life, impacted one soul, and because of your life, one soul was changed from going to, they were on their way to hell, and you changed their life, and they got to heaven because of your life, and you only impacted one life for eternity, would your life be a success or a failure? And I believe it would be a 100% success. And it's easy sometimes for me to focus on numbers and for clubs to have a huge crowd, but I would rather have one life and be able to pour into one life versus have 100 and not be effective at all. And I just want to read a verse from Matthew 9:37 in closing. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And, you know, you think of the harvest a lot of times in the foreign fields, but the harvest is everywhere around us. And so I just want to challenge us all to go into the harvest, be effective in the harvest, and pray that God would send laborers into his harvest. Thank you.
Good evening to each one of you. Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Riley, for sharing. I appreciate that. When Kurt had first called me and told me their plan to have different missions, local missions, come in and share, my thoughts pretty quickly went to, well, Myerstown, they're fairly or somewhat familiar with what or who Shenandoah is and what happens there. And when Kurt said he would be open to different guys sharing as well, I took him up on that and started asking people. So I appreciate your willingness to share, and thank you guys very much for your willingness to do that. And my mind went to Dale as well when Kurt called, because I'm thinking, oh, Dale will have something to share. And I talked to Dale. Well, he said he's actually teaching at Lichty's church all week for their summer Bible school, so that was not an option either. But I would like to give a short overview of the church, somewhat of the school, a little bit of Bible school, and just a little bit of the history and a little bit where we are today. So I'll try to do that in a nutshell. And I want to start by thanking each of you for your support that you have given us over the past few years. You have shown your support in many ways, some by Bible clubs, it was already mentioned, Sunday school, many different ways, financial support. We do appreciate that very much, because we could not be where we are today without you guys, and prayer support as well. That is a huge one, and we do appreciate and feel your support. So thank you for that. The start of Shenandoah Ministries, there was a vision to plant a church somewhere in an area where there was not Anabaptist churches nearby. And I was not involved with the very beginning of it, but some of you probably remember those days better than what I do, of first going up to Shenandoah to spy out the land and check it out. And there were probably a number of you who were present at that time and started doing some evangelism work up there, passing out tracts, praying over the town. And in July of 2010, Dale and Connie and their family moved to Shenandoah. I was the start with one family living there. Like Riley mentioned, they started the Bible clubs. Their children were mingling with the children from the community. They would have them at the park and the house, like we've heard, and that's how things got started with the children, and it grew from there. Then it was 2 years later that Londa and I moved to Shenandoah. That was July of 2012. In January of 2012, so just before, about 6 months before my wife and I moved there, we started holding church services there Sunday morning. Up until that point, Dale and Connie Weaver were regularly coming down to Myerstown for the church services. So we started church services there, and there again, a lot of support was given through Myerstown to make that happen with teaching. That children's clubs, like we've heard about this evening, a youth and the children, like I said, started with just a handful gathering together to the point where we needed to divide the group into two because we did not have a building that was big enough to hold everyone. So we started doing that on two different nights. It was a Tuesday evening and a Thursday evening. Then at one point we had it all on Thursday evening, just separate locations, but it was getting a little bit ahead of myself. But before or after Dale and Connie had moved to Shenandoah, it was not long until the building right across the street from where Dale and Connie lived came up for sale. The decision was made to purchase it, and that is now where we have our school and the Bible clubs for the youth as well. It was in 2014 when we purchased the church building that we are now in. If you were not ever in Shenandoah, you are certainly welcome to come visit us, whether it's Bible clubs or a Sunday morning. Our church services start at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, so you could probably, depends where you live, leave your house the same time or later and make it up in time for our service. If you ever sleep in a bit and need to get the church on time, maybe you should think about heading to Shenandoah. It was June of 2014 that the third family joined the work up there. That was Tristan and Dorcas. They moved to Shenandoah when the church building was purchased. There was the parsonage, the house that came with that purchase, and that is where Tristan and Dorcas had moved into. And then December of 2014, I believe, is that right, when Matt and Charla moved to Shenandoah. So that was they were the fourth family to settle in Shenandoah. We are so thankful for each one. And then last year, we had two more families move in the area, Jason and Dorcas Segrist. Jason is Londa's cousin. So him and his wife and their girls moved into the area. They did not move into Shenandoah. They moved near Ashland. So it's about a 15-minute drive. And they regularly actually just became members of our church as well. Also, Brent and Grace Stolzfus. Brent was one of the school teachers this past term. Tristan and Dorcas had moved out of the parsonage. They bought a house in Ringtown or near Ringtown, and then Brent and Grace moved into that house. Spencer and Marita were the seventh family, I guess you could say, that were part of our church as well. Spencer is Dale and Connie's oldest son, was married last August, so him and his wife live right there in the community as well. So it is certainly exciting to see the church grow, to see new members come in. When you're a small church, I think it makes it all the more special when you have new people coming, and to have a bigger group, somewhat to spread the workload out, and also to just be part of a church family together. It truly is a blessing. I'm grateful, very grateful for everyone that is present. We recently took in four new members. One of them, like I mentioned, was Jason and Dorcas Segrist, Marita Weaver, which is Spencer's wife, and Sharon Nolt. Sharon Nolt actually lives not too far from here, but she has been coming to our services for quite some time and recently became a member. So that is a little bit of our size, where we are today. Still very small, but certainly feels like we have a group where we can do more things together and worship together. It is a blessing to, or I'm grateful for where it is today. A little bit on the school end of things. The second, I guess I could say, official term was ended just recently. Spencer and Marita and Brent Stalsus were the three teachers this past term. And as far as what it's going to look like for this coming term, as far as teachers, Spencer and Marita are expecting a baby in August, so Marita will probably not do very much teaching. So we were looking for a first and second grade teacher, praying that God would supply a teacher. And I guess this is now official that we do have a teacher for this term. And some of you might be familiar or already know of it, maybe not all of you, but Emily Whitmer has agreed to teach this next term, be the daughter of Sylvan and Loretta Whitmer. So we are very grateful for that. You can pray for them and pray for Emily. She adjusts to being a school teacher. The plan is actually there's quite a bit of change going on as far as housing in Shenandoah. Spencer and Marita live in the second floor apartment, which is right above the school. It is where Alonda and I lived when we first moved to Shenandoah. Spencer and Marita will be moving into the house where Brent and Grace now are, and Emily Whitmer will be moving into where Spencer and Marita in the second floor apartment. So certainly will be a lot of change happening there. Our goal with this school is to as well have it grow like our church. Obviously it will be a school where the church families can send their children, and also we want to open the doors to the community. And I don't know what the next 5 years, 10 years hold as far as what it will grow to be, what it all look like. There is some interest in families from Shenandoah, some from the Shenandoah Heights. Actually, I talked to Dale today, and Dale just had a phone call today from a man that lives in Shenandoah Heights, has a child going into second grade, and he is frustrated with the public school system, as we hear quite a bit, and he is considering sending to Shenandoah Christian School. So that's in the very beginning stages. There's another, actually a single lady with several children that lives in Shenandoah Heights that would like to, or is interested in sending her children to the school as well. So you can continue to pray for the school, the teachers, and that God's will would be done there. It's exciting to see what God has for the school. Another thing I'll just touch on very briefly, the last week of July is typically when we have our summer Bible school. The past few years now, Tristan and Dorcas have kind of spearheaded that and made sure everything's happening, looking for teachers. And this will be the third year now that we tried something different for the final night of summer Bible school. On Friday night, we have the street shut down in front of the church. The borough gives us permission to do that, and we have you'd call it a mini block party. Shenandoah has several block parties throughout the year, and we try to have a block party with a godly atmosphere, and it has been well attended overall. What we have for Friday night, instead of having the regular classes for the children and whoever comes from the community, we have games out on the street, we have food, and we have usually a gospel singing team there or two, and we try to let the streets ring with gospel music and send out invitations. Our goal is to bring the community out, and it is very difficult to get adults to come in the church doors. We have had a number of them sprinkle throughout the years, but a lot of adults are a little hesitant to step foot in the church door. Children are so much more likely to come, and it is always interesting, the fun night, as we call it, for the Friday night, final night of summer Bible school, when the adults do come from the community, it is a way to reach out to them, get to know them a little bit better. So I will throw it out there. The last Friday in July, I believe it is, for our fun night. If you would like to be part of that, you're certainly welcome to come up for that. It's really nice if we can have plenty of staff there for the last night. What happens, we have different games going on, we have the food, and it takes a lot of staff to run everything. And if what has happened some in the past, you're so busy doing things, you don't actually get to see a lot of what's going on and walk around and visit with some people. So I'll throw that out there and invite every one of you up to help out with that. Maybe at times you can just go around and enjoy your food, and maybe part of the time you can help attend one of the games or something like that. So you're certainly welcome to come up for that. Another thing we have started doing, I believe this will be the third year for as well, is one Sunday out of the year we gear especially to the children. We switch it up a bit. We have a children's sermon, try to gear it for them and send out invitations to all the ones that come from Bible clubs. Sometimes the best way to get the word out is to give the information to the children, and they go run with it and tell their friends. And then following that, we go to the park and kind of have our Sunday school picnic, have games up at the park with the children, have a meal there, and that's always something that the children look forward to. So that's planned for the last Sunday in June, I believe, June 25th. It's coming up. Don't have much time, but some of my personal journey in the last... Well, it's almost 5 years now that we moved to Shenandoah. It was July of 2012. And you see, like Riley shared, a lot of people coming and going. When we moved up there, you see these little 6-7-year-old children that come out to Bible clubs, or even 10-year-old children. 5 years later, some of those children are in their teenagers and running around with their friends, and they've changed quite a bit. And it's actually... just recently, I was seeing a few of those that would come so faithfully Sunday mornings, so faithfully Thursday nights, and now they have what appears no interest in coming to church. They'd rather be with their friends doing the things their friends do, and it is really sad to see that sometimes, but I appreciate what you shared, Riley, that we are there to plant seeds of truth, and hopefully that truth that is planted there, that is still in their heart, and that they will not forget it, and one day that they would remember that and turn to the truth that they know. So continue to pray for those seeds to be watered. Just a couple, just go over very quickly, in Sunday morning services as well, we see a lot of people coming and going, and some attend faithfully for a while and then stop. And even recently, there are some Sunday mornings where we do not have any adults from the community. Most Sundays we do, but it does vary from Sunday to Sunday, and sometimes there's as many as five or so there. And just recently, there was a lady from the Ringtown area that was looking to sell her house and somehow got a hold of Dale's number, and she called Dale. Dale was talking with her, and then Dale went and met with her, and in the course of their conversation, she showed interest in coming to our church. And she had recently went through surgery on her eyes, so she currently does not have her driver's license, so Lana and I had the privilege of picking her up a few times to bring her to church, and she seems to have enjoyed it. Actually, Londa, I believe just yesterday, was picking strawberries with her, and just little connections that we have, and we try to reach out and reach into the lives of the adults when they do show interest. There's times where Dale and I go out to, or with breakfast with some men from the community. Chuck is a man that was, some of you, quite a few of you have met. He's one that has come faithfully for quite some time, and then recently was having some health issues, went through hip surgery, and still dealing with recovery from that. That's been a few months, but he keeps saying that he does want to come back. I was just with him again this week, and God only knows exactly what is all going on in his heart, but sometimes I might tend to think numbers and want the numbers to be present, but you know, I need to just focus on reaching out and reaching into the lives of these people as they show interest and to point them to Christ. I want to close very quickly with one verse. You can actually turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. We have Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's basically saying, because of the resurrection, because of the victory that we can have in Christ Jesus, and goes on to in verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This was just an encouragement to me as I was thinking about this and what all I would share. But our calling to be steadfast, unmovable, to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not about how big of a group comes from the community. It's not about all what it appears to be, but it's about just continuing to be faithful where God has called us and abound always in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. The world might look at us and think we're crazy and think, why would you do what you're doing? But we are part of a different kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, and we want to be that light to the world around us, because one day we will be rewarded for the work that is done for this spiritual kingdom. So thank you for allowing us to come and share, and I ask that you would continue to pray for Shenandoah and the work that is done there, and thank you for your support. God bless.